This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, so the time has gone 11 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. So as we said earlier, we focus so much on the formation of a government of national unity. And we know that today, certainly I read it this morning, that the president will be meeting with John Steenhuisen, but I'm not sure with other negotiators of the DA, but certainly he's got a meeting scheduled with John Steenhuisen today, I guess, to iron out some of the sticky issues of their GNU agreement, issues around proportionality, issues around sufficient consensus, and then obviously issue around how to allocate positions in parliament and in the executive before he announces a cabinet. And then it is also reported that after that meeting with John Steenhuisen, the president is scheduled to meet with Ubabu Velngosi Hlabisa of the IFP. I am assuming around the same things. And then we will know what happens thereafter. From what we have heard, there are five, but I think six members now of the GNU. There's the ANC, obviously, the DA. I don't know if it's unreservedly or if there are conditions. There's the IFP. There's a question mark, you know, from what I understand, over the Patriotic Alliance. The DA has said they were never consulted. They're uncomfortable. But anyway, we know that the PA say they're there. Good, Patricia de Lille has also signed on, and even there's a sense that she will retain her ministerial position as Minister of Tourism. I read that in the Africa report. And we know the PAC has also signed up. And interestingly, I read a report that says the Freedom Front Plus has also entered, adding their signature to a GNU agreement yesterday. And so this speaks to the idea that it's still open. Still open for participation. I don't know if there's a timeline, a deadline as to by such and such a date you must have either committed or not. But all of those issues still need to be ironed out before we know exactly what a GNU looks like. But as all of these issues are being spoken about, we're forgetting that there is an opposition on the other side and that the government, even constituted in a grand coalition GNU, must accept that there's going to be people on the other side of the aisle who don't want to be part of this particular arrangement, but who still have a responsibility to the electorate as elected MPs and will use their voice to challenge policy programs that don't align with national imperatives and hold the GNU to account. And to that end, Herman Mashaba has called for a constructive opposition, and constructive being the operative word, is that you don't go in there just to be disruptive, but to be constructive. We also know that a progressive caucus was formed, which is a sort of a loose political alliance comprising of seven parties, with the EFF, Al-Jamaa, the UDM, the United African Transformation Movement, the African Transformation Movement, the PAC of Azania, and Umkhonto weSizwe. I'm not sure about the PAC because apparently they added their names to a GNU. But nonetheless, there is a progressive caucus. There are calls for a constructive opposition. And these will be some of the parties that make up the 30 to 33% of the votes on the other side of the scale. Herman Mashaba joins us. He's the president of Action SA. Good morning, Herman Mashaba.
Good morning, Lerato. Wonderful, as always, having this chat with you and having this chat after this very historic elections. And let's all hope and pray that we have successful negotiations of this grand coalition. It's interesting that the media is calling, is accepting this to really be a government of national unity. I think we must call it for what it is.
Yeah.
It's just it's a grand coalition, and I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with this, but I don't believe it is fair to mislead society that this is a government of national unity.
Why do you say that? For you, what does the term GNU, Government of National Unity, mean, and how does it differ from a grand coalition?
If you look at the government of national unity, anywhere in the world, including here in South Africa in 1994, that's when you come out of the very difficult situation where all political parties are part of the negotiations, and those that elect not to become part of the national, part of the government of national unity, they can so decide. But in this particular case, ANC lost power for the first time, and something as South Africans we need to really celebrate, and obviously to really save their face. Then Cyril Ramaphosa comes out with what he terms government of national unity, as if he's got the majority. Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC, they don't have the majority.
To call a unity government. Okay.
So this is a grand coalition, and it is their right to do so. We as Section SA, we're not critical of this. We wish them everything of the best, and that's why for us as Section SA, when they invited us, I know even on Wednesday at the inauguration of the president, met quite a few of ANC people still asking me to say, please, Mashaba, consider this. And I said, please, I said to you, give me 300 years, I might give you a call. right now, I think leave Action SA to be the unofficial opposition in Parliament. And also, secondly, actually, yesterday I had an interview on with TT on Power
FM. Yes, I heard that.
And asked me about this progressive group. And I said, TT, if the progressive team is not listening, ask them not even waste their time to give me a call.
Yeah.
Because we cannot really be part of this Action SA. We'll work on our own, or we'll probably... Yeah. Be able to really attract some of the people who share the same values and principles as Section SA.
No, I absolutely heard you speaking to TT yesterday morning, and the first thing that came to my mind is this clarity here. Action SA are not mincing their words, as TT said. You're very clear about where you stand, what your values are, who you'll work with and why you'll work with them, who you will not work with and why you'll work with them. And your reasons are consistent before the election and even post-inauguration. So definitely on your side, there's clarity, and we know that you're going to be part of an opposition, and what you're calling for is the opposition to figure out their strategy of how you're going to advance the constitution, democracy and the voice of the people in this new arrangement, if I've understood you correctly.
Absolutely. You captured it 100%, or even just over 100%. And thank you for understanding it in this fashion. And I really request all South Africans to respect our decision as Action SA, not to keep on saying we must be part of this arrangement of this grand coalition, and also be part of this progressive. And I think, you know, for me, Lerato, regarding ANC, as you are aware, what has happened, the level of corruption over the last 30 years that has robbed our youth, millions of our youth, of their future because of high levels of corruption, open borders, and so forth. I would not personally want to be associated with them. And one thing that I also have an advantage is that I've had an opportunity to work with the DA, including with them coming out with what they call the Moonshot Pact, which we subsequently attempted the multi-party charter, which they wanted us to sign the agreement in front of this nation, in front of you, the media, and people of South Africa, an agreement which, for them, they signed it, but it was not worth the paper it's written on. And I can give you many examples of the dishonesty of the DA on many occasions. Even when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, when I was firing the MMCs involved in corruption and refusing me to fire them. So something that, you know, I've got experience with them. It is for that reason that you can imagine you put me to work with DA and ANC.
Okay.
I've got practical example of all of the two of them. It is for that reason that I would really prefer that they leave me out of this. I've tried them both.
Okay, but I think we should just focus on the opposition and its role. Let me bring in Hanif Hendricks, president of Al Jamaa. Thank you so much for your patience, sir. whilst you recognize the importance of a constructive opposition, you support this idea of a progressive caucus. Could you tell us a little bit more about it and how you'd consolidate your votes and your views as an opposition to be a balancer of power in Parliament?
Yeah, thank you very much. We were approached by the EFF and I had a one-on-one meeting with the SG in my office in Cape Town. Mm. And we had a telephonic conversation with MK in the lead up to the Progressive Caucus.
Yeah.
Our CEO, Professor Harun, suggested that we, instead of having these individual discussions, that we meet, and we all met. And the Progressive Caucus first port of call was just before the first sitting of Parliament. We felt that we need to throw our weight behind the ANC because they got the most of the votes, 40% of the votes. And we also felt that it's important to show them that we don't want them to get too cozy with the DA and other parties, because we didn't want to return to white rule and the return to apartheid and so on. And we agreed to bend over backwards to before the first sitting. In fact, Julius Malema was present, and I asked him, you know, whether he would propose Cyril Ramaphosa as a president, and he said, of course, because his party got most of the votes. But things changed a bit later. So the members of the Progressive Caucus, we caucus on different issues that we feel is in the best interest of the country. And the only caucus we had so far was with regard to the first sitting and the election of office bearers. Having said that, when we met with the ANC National Working Committee yesterday, they shared with us that the first people to join the government of national unity was the Patriotic Alliance and the Good Party, and maybe also the PAC. So you were the first to sign, at least two of the three of them. And later on, the hour before the sitting, the DA signed. So there's no such thing as foundation members. And it became quite clear in the discussion we had on the National Working Committee that they disagree with everything that the DA and the Alexander says.
Right.
It seems as if Alan Jiller doesn't understand the Constitution and how cabinet works. The Constitution gives the president the sole right to appoint his executive.
Yeah.
And what we have, the statement of intent is a rules of engagement. A statement of intent means one day we will come to some agreement. And the ANC made it quite clear that they're consulting different parties. We've already suggested one or two changes to that, the rules of engagement, which people call a statement of intent and a government of national unity. So the country seems to be to not fully understand what's happening. And also,
yeah,
arising from the constitutional right of the president that only he has the right to appoint the executive, and Alan Jiller and the DA, they are rules of engagement, but they have absolutely no power, no control over the president's constitutional right. And then flowing from that, there are certain processes that have been working in cabinet where there are committees established to decide different things. And at the end of the day, the president again has to sign everything off. So our constitution gives the president a lot of power, and the DA doesn't seem to realize it, and they're just confusing the whole of South Africa with this hype that they are creating, that they are now in charge, the ANC can't rule.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of nonsense. The president rules. President of a country rules, okay, and no one else. So okay, Al-Jamaa has not joined the government of national unity because we already have a bilateral agreement with the ANC, which trumps the advantages which we may get from this rules of engagement. We feel we'll weaken our position if we join the government of national unity, because then we have to pander to the Alan Gillis of this world. And certainly we don't want to do that, because they're obviously looking at how there can be a return to white rule. And that is not going to go off well with the people who voted in the DA as a minority government.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Herman Mashaba, I think both of you have made your points very clear, that working within the framework of the government of national unity doesn't align with your principles and values. It also doesn't represent the national interest in terms of representing all constituencies in South Africa, and it's not where either of you would be comfortable. You've also said you wouldn't be necessarily comfortable working with an alternative such as the Progressive Caucus. You just think political parties must go in there and do the business of representing the people who voted for them. What I want to know from you is what is meant by a collective, constructive opposition. How do you see the opposition benches conducting their work?
Well, I think the reason why Section SA, we will not really work with the Progressive. We will work with them when we're in Parliament and there are reports brought to Parliament where we agree. We are not going to just really be critical of everything, even if whatever is presented to us is positive. But we would not want to really have official relationship with them. Why? Because I think if you look at our policies, fundamentally different to the others. I think if you take MK for an example, I think Action SA believes in the constitutional democracy, and the MK is against that. Mm. EFF, in terms of the economic policies, Action SA has been unapologetic of being a party committed to a free market economy. So I think we don't want to really be tainted with political parties of which our values and principles and policies are far apart. Yeah. But we're happy to work with them. If they bring in a report in Parliament that makes sense, I can tell you we'll work with them. When the Pala report comes into Parliament, okay, I can tell you we will work with them to ensure that that Pala report is discussed.
Right.
But
okay,
when it comes to owning of banks and so forth, they want us to support them that government must own banks and bakeries and construction companies. I mean, those are the things that we believe, I think, would rather upfront let South Africa know. We believe in a free market economy. We believe in controlled borders. As you are aware, EFF does not believe in borders. They want a borderless South Africa. And we, as Section SA, we are saying South Africa is a sovereign country. Our borders must be controlled. We cannot have a situation where the people come here in our country, they come here legally, commit the crimes, and we expect them to say South Africa is a borderless country.
Okay. Hanif Hendricks, I'm just going to read to you just a basic definition of the opposition. From the Democracy Works Foundation, and then there are many others. But basically, they say that the role of the opposition in a legislature is to check the excesses of the ruling or dominant parties, not to be antagonistic, but to make sure that there's accountability and that there aren't negative effects on the people of the country. So Mr. Mashaba is saying transparency is starting with opening up the Palapala files, and let's just have Parliament have a proper discussion around what happened. And whatever other issues emerge that speak to transparency, accountability to the people is what the opposition must do, not just on issues of corruption, but also, as this definition says, on issues of checking the largesse of the dominant party. So how do you see yourselves playing a role in Parliament when there's a grand coalition or a GNU?
Look, I don't agree with that democracy outfit that still lives in the past. South Africa is moving towards what we call a national dialogue. And national dialogue will include the opposition parties or those who do not feel comfortable to be part of a government of national unity, especially if we have parties in that coalition that wants a return to apartheid. We're not comfortable. So what we are looking at is the statement of intent is there. It will evolve into a document that will govern those parties that identified with a government of national unity. The ANC also has coalition partners. They also have bilateral relations like they have with us. And all of us will then be, after that, part of a national dialogue. So, for example, our manifesto promise to our constituency was full employment and decent work, defined by the Convention on Decent Work of the United Nations. So obviously in the national dialogue, we would like to push that that the governing party, which is a minority government, and everyone else, that they should work, that they should identify maybe half a dozen issues and jobs at the top of the agenda. And that national dialogue will then lead to programs that will have to be properly budgeted and implemented. And then parties do differ, and that's why there are motions and debates and so on, and that's where we can flex our muscles. But moving forward, there should be a national dialogue, and the role of the official opposition must change dramatically after we've learned the lessons of the last 30 years.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time. And of course, we're watching this GNU, some say Grand Coalition, come into formation. We don't know what's going to be standing at the end of these discussions, what they're going to agree on, what they're not going to agree on. We hope in the national interest that everybody from the GNU side and from the opposition side works in the interests of South Africa. And then we'll be watching what happens in Parliament. Amen. As all of you represent the South Africans who voted for all of you. Herman Mashaba, the president of Action SA, and Hanif Hendricks, the president of Al Jamaa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.